Chapter 20. At this point, Miss Alden got up abruptly. I was glad. He did not evidently expect anything so decisive, and, at first, throwing his head back, he tilted up his dark glasses with bland curiosity. At last, recollecting himself, he stood up hastily, seizing his hat off his knees with great adroitness. How is it, Natalia Viktorovna, that you have kept aloof so long, from what after all is, let disparaging tongues say what they like, a unique center of intellectual freedom, and of effort to shape a high conception of our future? In the case of your honored mother I understand in a measure. At her age new ideas new faces are not perhaps. But you. Was it mistrust or indifference? You must come out of your reserve. We Russians have no right to be reserved with each other. In our circumstances it is almost a crime against humanity. The luxury of private grief is not for us. Nowadays the devil is not combated by prayers and fasting. And what is fasting after all but starvation? You must not starve yourself, Natalia Viktorovna. Strength is what we want. Spiritual strength, I mean. As to the other kind, what could withstand us Russians, if we only put it forth? Sin is different in our day, and the way of salvation for pure souls is different too. It is no longer to be found in monasteries, but in the world, in the... The deep sound seemed to rise from under the floor, and one felt steeped in it to the lips. Miss Alden's interruption resembled the effort of a drowning person to keep above water. She struck in with an accent of impatience, but, Peter Ivanovich, I don't mean to retire into a monastery. Who would look for salvation there? I spoke figuratively, he boomed. Well then, I am speaking figuratively too. But sorrow is sorrow, and pain is pain in the old way. They make their demands upon people. One has got to face them the best way one can. I know that the blow which has fallen upon us so unexpectedly is only an episode in the fate of a people. You may rest assured that I don't forget that. But just now I have to think of my mother. How can you expect me to leave her to herself? That is putting it in a very crude way, he protested in his great effortless voice. Miss Alden did not wait for the vibration to die out. And run about visiting amongst a lot of strange people. The idea is distasteful for me, and I do not know what else you may mean. He towered before her, enormous, deferential, cropped as close as a convict, and this big pinkish pole evoked for me the vision of a wild head with matted locks peering through parted bushes, glimpses of naked, tawny limbs slinking behind the masses of sodden foliage under a cloud of flies and mosquitoes. It was an involuntary tribute to the vigor of his writing. Nobody could doubt that he had wandered in Siberian forests, naked and girt with a chain. The black broadcloth coat invested his person with a character of austere decency, something recalling a missionary. Do you know what I want, Natalia Viktorovna? He uttered solemnly. Want you to be a fanatic. A fanatic? Yes. Faith alone won't do. His voice dropped to a still lower tone. He raised for a moment one thick arm, the other remained hanging down against his thigh, with the fragile silk hat at the end. I shall tell you now something which I entreat you to ponder over carefully. Listen, we need a force that would move heaven and earth, nothing less. The profound, subterranean note of this oathingless made one shudder, almost, like the deep muttering of wind in the pipes of an organ. And are we to find that force in the salon of Madame de S? Excuse me, Peter Ivanovich, if I permit myself to doubt it. Is not that lady a woman of the great world, an aristocrat? Prejudice, he cried. Who astonish me? And suppose she was all that? She is also a woman of flesh and blood. There is always something to weigh down the spiritual side in all of us. But to make of it a reproach is what I did not expect from you. No. I did not expect that. One would think you have listened to some malevolent scandal. I have heard no gossip, I assure you. In our province how could we? But the world speaks of her. What could there be in common in a lady of that sort, and an obscure country girl like me? She is a perpetual manifestation of a noble and peerless spirit, he broke in. Her charm, no, I shall not speak of her charm. But, of course, everybody who approaches her falls under the spell. Contradictions vanish, trouble falls away from one. Unless I am mistaken, but I never make a mistake in spiritual matters, you are troubled in your soul, Natalia Viktorovna. Miss Alden's clear eyes looked straight at his soft, enormous face. I received the impression that behind these dark spectacles of his he could be as impudent as he chose. Only the other evening, walking back to town from Chateau Borel with our latest interesting arrival from Petersburg, I could notice the powerful soothing influence, I may say reconciling influence. There he was, all these kilometers along the shores of the lake, silent, like a man who has been shown the way of peace. I could feel the leaven working in his soul, you understand. For one thing, he listened to me patiently. I myself was inspired that evening by the firm and exquisite genius of Eleanor Madame de S, you know. It was a full moon and I could observe his face. I cannot be deceived. Miss Alden, looking down, seemed to hesitate. Well, I will think of what you said, Peter Ivanovich. I shall try to call as soon as I can leave Mother for an hour or two safely. Coldly as these words were said, I was amazed at the concession. He snatched her right hand with such fervor that I thought he was going to press it to his lips or his breast. But he only held it by the fingertips in his great paw and shook it a little up and down while he delivered his last volley of words. That's right. That's right. I haven't obtained your full confidence as yet, Natalia Viktorovna, but that will come. All in good time. The sister of Victor Alden cannot be without importance. It's simply impossible. And no woman can remain sitting on the steps. Flowers, tears, applause, that has had its time. It's a medieval conception. The arena itself is the place for women. He relinquished her hand with a flourish, as if giving it to her for a gift, and remained still, his head bowed in dignified submission before her femininity. The arena. You must descend into the arena, Natalia. He made one step backwards, inclined his enormous body, and was gone swiftly. The door fell to behind him. But immediately the powerful resonance of his voice was heard addressing in the anteroom the middle-aged servant woman who was letting him out. Whether he exhorted her to descend into the arena, I cannot tell. The thing sounded like a lecture, and the slight crash of the outer door cut it short suddenly. 3. We remained looking at each other for a time. Do you know who he is? Miss Alden, coming forward, put this question to me in English. I took her offered hand. Everybody knows. He is a revolutionary feminist, a great writer, if you like, and how shall I say it, the familiar guest of Madame de S.'s mystic revolutionary salon. Miss Alden passed her hand over her forehead. You know, he was with me for more than an hour before you came in. I was so glad Mother was lying down. S. He has many nights without sleep, and then sometimes in the middle of the day she gets a rest of several hours. It is sheer exhaustion, but still, I am thankful. If it were not for these intervals. She looked at me, and, with that extraordinary penetration which used to disconcert me, shook her head. No, she would not go mad. My dear young lady, I cried, by way of protest, the more shocked, because in my heart I was far from thinking Mrs. Alden quite sane. You don't know what a fine, lucid intellect Mother had, continued Nathalie Alden, with her calm, clear-eyed simplicity, which seemed to me always to have a quality of heroism. I am sure. I murmured. I darkened Mother's room, and came out here. I wanted for so long to think quietly. She paused, then, without giving any sign of distress, added, "It's so difficult," and looked at me with a strange fixity, as if watching for a sign of dissent or surprise. I gave neither. I was irresistibly impelled to say, "The visit from that gentleman has not made it any easier, I fear." Miss Alden stood before me with a peculiar expression in her eyes. "I don't pretend to understand completely. Some guide one must have, even if one does not wholly give up the direction of one's conduct to him. I am an inexperienced girl, but I am not slavish. There has been too much of that in Russia. Why should I not listen to him? There is no harm in having one's thoughts directed. But I don't mind confessing to you that I have not been completely candid with Peter Ivanovich. I don't quite know what prevented me at the moment." She walked away suddenly from me to a distant part of the room, but it was only to open and shut a drawer in a bureau. She returned with a piece of paper in her hand. It was thin, and blackened with close handwriting. It was obviously a letter. "I wanted to read you the very words," she said. "His is one of my poor brother's letters. He never doubted. How could he doubt? They make only such a small handful, these miserable oppressors, before the unanimous will of our people. Your brother believed in the power of a people's will to achieve anything? It was his religion," declared Miss Alden. I looked at her calm face and her animated eyes. "Of course the will must be awakened, inspired, concentrated," she went on. "That is the true task of real agitators. One has got to give up one's life to it. The degradation of servitude, the absolutist lies must be uprooted and swept out. Reform is impossible. There is nothing to reform. There is no legality, there are no institutions. There are only arbitrary decrees. There is only a handful of cruel, perhaps blind officials against a nation." The letter rustled slightly in her hand. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.